WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Philip Baker Hall is best known for his performances in the films of Paul Thomas Anderson. Hall played a gambler in Hard Eight, a porn mogul in Boogie Nights, and a Whiz Kids game show host in Magnolia. Hall is great at playing hard-boiled. Even in his role as a library cop tracking down overdue books in that now classic episode of Seinfeld. His other films include Bruce Almighty, The Talented Mr. Ripley, and Air Force One. He's now in Fox's new sitcom The Loop, premiering this Tuesday, March 15th, after American Idol. Hall plays Russ, an impatient and acerbic Chicago airline executive. Here's a scene in which Russ is chewing out his airline staff.
Now we're up against it, but there is a way to win, and it's called imagination. Oh, I know. I said a fruity word. So have I gone insane? Is this airline being run by a madman? Maybe. But it's going to take madness to save this drowning mongoose. All right, imagination. Everybody say it with me. No, don't say it, because you don't have it. We're going to cut costs, or everybody's going to be sucking off the government teat. And that is one crusty heifer. I want ideas from every one of you ass clowns in 2 days. And if you can't imagine that, imagine yourself fired. So get fruity, folks. Oh, by the way, you don't have a pension plan anymore.
Terry Gross talked to Philip Baker Hall in 2003. Let's hear a scene from Paul Thomas Anderson's Magnolia, in which Hall plays the host of a TV quiz show for precocious kids.
End of round one. Excellent work, ladies and germs. I think we should take a look at the scores on the board here. Kids are up a leg with 1,500, and the adults are down a little bit with 1,025. So we'll be back for round two, and a ring-dang-do. Oh, hello, hello. Bonus musical question, and the winner is... kids! Kids are in the lead. They get a chance here to pull further and farther ahead if they can answer the following secret bonus musical question. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to read a line to you from an opera. I want you to give me that line back in the language in which the opera was originally written. And for a bonus 250, you can sing it. Here's the line. Love is a rebellious bird that nobody can tame. And it's all in vain to call it if it chooses to refuse. Yes, Stanley.
Well, that was in French, and that was from the opera Carmen. And that goes... L'amour est un vaisseau rebelle que nous...
That's my guest, Philip Baker Hall, in a scene from the movie Magnolia. What did you draw on for this character?
Well, Paul and I, we spent a fair amount of time together before that, talking about this character. And Paul had done some research, and he had some personal experience also with someone who was having an Alzheimer's problem, as well as perhaps a series of mini strokes, which is what we were kind of exploring there.
Right, and if our listeners didn't catch this, your memory's going a little bit. You're having a little bit of trouble in the scene that we just heard.
Yeah. And there's, I guess, quite a bit of literature about this phenomenon where you can have these little strokes and sort of not be aware that you're having a stroke, but they accumulate. The effect of them accumulates until finally you're almost unable to speak, which is where my character sort of gets at one point in this film. So that was my preparation for that aspect of the role. The other preparation that Paul and I did together was, I don't know if this channel is still operating on television or not, but at the time there was a channel that played nothing but old quiz shows and old game shows from the earliest days of television. So I remember we sat one day virtually all day and just watched this channel and watched all these old quiz show guys from 25, 30 years ago. Just to get a line on what just the modus operandi of guys who do this for a living, who do nothing but relate either to kids or to contestants. and how that colors and changes their personality as people.
What did you pick up on from that?
Oh, just the kind of offhand and shallow kind of personal relationships that, hey, I'm not indicting anybody who does that for a living, believe me. I mean, all these are honorable professions, and I do respect them. But if somebody does this kind of job for 20 years, I think you're not looking to go very far below the surface here, a manner, a way of dealing with people, of relating to people, and that ultimately, however, culminates maybe in some very difficult personal relationships at home with one's own children or one's own wife or one's own family. This was an aspect of, because as we looked at many of these people, we noted in cases that we knew about that there was, there were a lot of well-publicized family problems, especially with the children of famous people who do nothing but this kind of work. So it was an education for us, and it helped Paul to solidify certain things in the script, and it helped me to get a handle on what to go for in the preparation of the role.
I want to ask you about your voice. Your voice is often, you're often in these kind of tough or authoritative type of roles, whether it's somebody with a lot of power in a cabinet position, or whether it's somebody who's connected to gangsters. I know your voice is capable of being really tough. I can't quite place it geographically. It always sounds very urban to me, but I can't really say I hear or I can locate a particular accent. Where are you from?
I'm from Ohio. I was born in Toledo, Ohio, and I grew up there. My father was from Montgomery, Alabama, so I certainly don't speak, unless a character requires it, with any kind of a southern dialect. But there may be something may have been added or taken out of the Midwestern aspect of it by hearing my father, who did pretty much maintain his accent and dialect. So, and then I was in New York for 16 years also. So, and also as an actor, one who studied dialects and vocal tricks of one kind or another, as required for an actor, especially a character actor, maybe it's been flattened out in some way that you can't determine where it came from. But I am from the Midwest. In fact, somebody asked me once, they wanted me to do something. I don't know if it was for a commercial or what. They wanted me to do a Midwestern accent. And I thought I was already doing it.
So, right. There you go. What did your father do when you were growing up?
My father worked in Toledo at the Willis Overland plant, which was an automobile plant. And during the Second World War, they produced the Jeeps. Most of the Jeeps that were used in the Second World War were made in Toledo. And then later it was Kaiser Frazier Automotive, and they made the Nash Rambler and all these cars. And that's what he did. He worked at a factory most of his life.
How had your family been affected by the Depression?
My father had, and his brother, in the 20s, had a very successful tire vulcanizing shop. In the 20s, when automobiles were really becoming popular and everybody was having a car, the whole business of tires and how to maintain them and keep them going without buying new ones all the time, there was a process developed in Akron, the Goodyear Tire Company, called vulcanizing. And those who were sort of looking to the future went up and took that course on how to vulcanize, and then in their various localities would start a vulcanizing shop. And that's what my father and his brother did. They started a vulcanizing shop in Toledo, Ohio, and were very successful. But when the Depression came and everything collapsed in 1929 and 1930, they lost their shop, and so my dad was pretty much out of work for almost 10 years. He just did odd jobs and did what he could. We were on what was called, in those days, was called relief. would be welfare today. We were on relief, and I remember we used to depend on some relatives who would bring bags of groceries for us. Or I remember going with my dad down to these agencies in Toledo that would hand out old dented canned goods and powdered eggs and powdered milk and all this kind of stuff. So it was up until, really until the war began, and in 1940 maybe, I think, is when he got employed at the Willis Overland plant, and then began to kind of stabilize economically, and our life changed a little bit, and he was able to buy a house, and our life became very different than it had been. But for the first 10 years of my life, my father was really, the family was struggling.
What's another, like, defining moment of your early life?
Well, I think a defining moment of my early life would probably be in grade school when, and then also in high school, when I realized that there might be another life for me other than the life that was there. In other words, my father always expected me to follow him at the Willis Overland plant and to work at the plant also, which in fact, when I went to college at one point, I did for a short time. But he was always expecting me to probably end up working in a factory like he did. This is what appeared to be the life that was available. But somewhere I realized that that I would be able to make something different with my life, and that I could perhaps do it as an actor. And I knew this pretty early. Somewhere in grade school, I began to sense the possibility of this. You know, my voice changed early. And I remember that the teachers, when they would do little class plays and programs and things, they would select me sometimes for key roles because probably between the ages of 12 and 14, I didn't sound like a child. I sounded basically like an adult because my voice became so deep and so husky, so young. So I began to realize at that point that I sort of intuitively possessed some skills in this area. And I determined at a pretty young age to try and make the most of them. I was always the one cast as the principal or the chief or the mean father. Uh-huh. Or the, you know, so I started out as a kid acting these parts because that's what the teachers gave me, because if you wanted an authentic adult-sounding voice in the play, it almost had to be me. So I think that's where it began.
So do you think you can use that quality in your voice when you need to be authoritative in real life, or when you need to be in a position of power?
That's a good question. And my my 7.5-year-old daughter and my 2.5-year-old daughter do not respond to this quality in my voice, I can tell you that. So in real life, it means absolutely nothing. I can scare people in movies on cue and on command, but my daughters are not in the least frightened by my big voice.
Well, I've really enjoyed talking with you. Thank you so much for talking with us.
Terry, I've enjoyed this so much. I know I've rambled on here. But it's fun to be given an opportunity to ramble on.
Philip Baker Hall speaking to Terry Gross in 2003. He stars in the new Fox TV sitcom The Loop, premiering next week.